Welcome back to The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, joined this morning by Chris Cherniak, who's sitting in for Tim Henney. Well, as we head towards fall, well, we're in fall and head towards winter. Yeah, almost done. It's a very dry year. It's a dry fall. It was a dry summer. And so I'm wondering, are you guilty now, because I am, of sort of laying off the sunscreen a little bit because the sun is lower in the sky and you don't think it's such a threat from the harmful rays?
In a word.
In a word, you do. Okay.
I don't use, actually, I don't use that much sunscreen.
Uh-oh.
So you can, we can talk about that.
We will talk about it. And joining us in the studio is our resident dermatologist, who really is just a part-time resident in Park City, but we grab her when we can. It's Dr. Jennifer Haley. She's a board-certified dermatologist. She joins us now to preview the winter and tell us how to create the best conditions for our skin. And good morning to you. Great to have you back.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. It's always so much fun.
Now, am I correct that you live in Arizona? Is that right?
I do.
So you practice there, which humidity-wise, Arizona is even drier than Utah. So, right?
It's pretty equivalent, but I mean, there are times a year that it varies, and especially in the winter, it tends to be worse in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
I always like to say that Mother Nature wins. So our skin is this amazing barrier, and it has really two main roles. The first role is to hold in moisture so we don't die of dehydration. So when people get really burned on, 70, 80% of their body, they die from loss of water.
Mm.
So our skin is that vital to hold in moisture. And then the second thing that the skin does is it prevents infection. And that's the other thing that happens to burn victims, is they die from infection. So by having a good skin barrier, it protects the skin on the inside and holds in moisture, and it prevents infection from breaking through those little cracks that form from the dry skin.
I mean, it's the largest organ in our body.
Actually, we always thought it was the largest organ of the body, but now we found this other organ called the interstitium, which is like this this liquid substance that runs between all the other organs.
So no longer.
Yeah, we don't have those bragging rights anymore, but it's the largest visible organ.
But it's critical to our health, welfare, and survival.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we get to look at it. We get to see the health of our skin, and the health of our skin is a reflection of what's going on to all of our organs, really.
So I have a question, since you talked about hydration. Do you feel like skin is hydrated best from within or without? Obviously, it takes both, but I often wonder, as I just cake more thick cream on my face, why it still is always dry. Is it I'm not drinking enough water, or whatever it is?
It's both. I mean, it's really, I try to get people to drink enough water so their urine is clear. That's kind of the indicator I give people, because you can easily get dehydrated here, especially this time of year. You're not sweating as much. You don't feel the need to drink as much, and you forget. You just get busy and you forget sometimes. So drinking enough water is really important, but then also we overlook healthy fats. So our skin is made of this bilayer, which is healthy fats with water in between. So a lot of people want to have low fat this, low fat that, but healthy fats are essential for our brain and our skin and so many more things than how I was trained learning nutrition in the 80s and the 90s. I mean, healthy fats from avocados, nuts, things like olive oil, are really going to help nurture the skin from the inside out. And we were just talking about fish oil. So fish oil supplement is definitely something that I recommend people take every day, making sure it's from a good source and not loaded with mercury.
Because there's lots of different types of fish oil out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So you want to get something that's distilled, sourced right, not going to be high in any mercury or any toxins that are found, unfortunately, in our oceans nowadays.
Okay. So internal hydration. So I didn't recognize the value of those healthy fats because I try to hydrate as much as possible, clear urine, et cetera, as that marker. Check. Got that. But without the healthy fats, it's kind of incomplete.
Exactly.
From an internal point of view.
And unhealthy fats like fried food and processed food, those are going to be inflammatory and cause inflammation, whereas the healthy types of fats, olive oil, fish, nuts, avocados, those are the big ones, those are going to be anti-inflammatory. So kind of calm down the rosacea, calm down, you know, all the dermatitis, that sort of thing. So that's internal. And then external, you have to look at what you're applying to your skin. Okay. Mm-hmm. So there's different types of emollients and, you know, one type is an occlusive, like Vaseline or Aquaphor. It's made of petrolatum. So if you are pretty moist and just get out of the tub or the shower, or you live in a very moist place like Hawaii, where I've practiced, then you can just kind of coat that over your skin. It works for babies. Mm-hmm. Most people are not going to tolerate Vaseline on their skin. And it holds in the moisture. It occludes the moisture. So you just seal it in. You know, great for the lips, maybe the hands before you go to bed if you want to wet your hands and put it on. You're super dry. Not a very usable, cosmetically elegant.
Because you can't really sweat.
No, and it's not really comfortable. But I do coat, you know, lips all the time with that and sometimes hands. The second type is a humectant. And humectants have things like urea in it or lactic acid in it. And these are ingredients you can look, you know, when you read the bottles at the grocery store. Humectants draw in moisture. We're at a disadvantage here because we don't have a lot of moisture in the air to draw into our skin. But I like products with lactic acid and products with urea for like dry, cracked legs or dry, cracked feet because it kind of helps exfoliate at the same time. But most of the time, people are going to use emollients. And emollients are things that you've, can I say brand names?
Sure.
Okay. They're just things that you find, you know, at at Rite Aid around town.
Right.
And, you know, there'll be any of your Neutrogena or Aveeno products or Eucerin products. There's a product called CeraVe or Cetaphil. And I look for ingredients that contain ceramides. So when we think about the skin, we think of it as a brick and mortar system. So the cells are the bricks and the mortar are the little lipids and other ingredients that kind of stick them together in between. And ceramides are one of those ingredients. So we're kind of replenishing that deficiency that happens. And in cold weather, you know how things expand in heat and constrict when it's cold? Mm-hmm. So in cold weather, those little bricks, those little cells we have in our skin, they constrict. Mm-hmm. So now the gaps become bigger. And that's why we become drier. So we really need to kind of hydrate. And the best time to hydrate is right after you get out of the shower.
So if we are good about looking on our ingredient list, you know, anything that we might buy, like you say, at Rite Aid or any very expensive thing that we might order online or buy at one of the fancier places, these ceramides?
Ceramides.
What will it be listed as in the ingredient list?
It will just say with ceramides on the label nowadays. So traditionally, CeraVe was the first one that came out with this maybe 10, 12 years ago. And then we realized how effective it was. So now a lot of companies are coming out with it. So it just says with ceramides, C-E-R-A-M-I-D-E-S.
Isn't it funny how something catches hold and then it becomes a marketing thing? Like parabens. Okay, parabens are bad. Right? They're, I don't know, are they carcinogenic or something? And so now everything will tell you they're paraben-free, even if it's, you know, a pint of ice cream.
They didn't have parabens in it to begin with.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the gluten-free thing.
Or gluten-free on meat.
Right.
Always been.
My favorite is BPA-free because all the BPs are bad, basically. All the plastics are going to disrupt hormones. So,
right.
I mean, I'm not huge on slathering tons of things on people. And the best thing to really do is to minimize soap use. So what people don't realize is how stripping soap is. So
it has lye in it, right? I mean, it's...
Yeah, I mean, it could. Traditional soap definitely has lye. And now we have, you know, more fancy chemicals in there. But anytime there's a sudsing reaction, it's basically the product binding with the oils in your skin to form those surfactants, and it draws out the moisture from your skin. So I only recommend people use soap, traditional soap, under their arms, their groin. Tell my patients, I say, I'll pay you $50 if you smell, because you won't. You won't produce or, you know, smell anywhere else, and you don't need it on your legs. I mean, you just water and friction, unless you're working with an oily, dirty grease.
Right.
Yeah, interesting. So, you know, we talked a moment before we went on air about, you know, spending a lot of money on your skincare products versus going to Rite Aid and you know, just buying what's there. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like there are good products either way you do it? And, you know, the more expensive ones, do they really pack a punch or
not? When you're talking about moisturizers and soaps, I think, you know, Rite Aid or even Whole Foods, you can find great things at any of these places, depending on the spectrum of what your interests are using on your skin. But I don't think you need to spend a lot of money on those sort of things. There are some higher-end skincare products that are very focused for pigmentation or wrinkles or that sort of thing that you are probably going to have to pay bigger dollars for. But the market out there has gotten pretty competitive. Mm. So you can, you know, do your 70%, I'd say, improvement instead of 90% improvement just over the counter if you know what you're looking for.
Yeah.
We're speaking with Dr. Jennifer Haley. She's a board-certified dermatologist. Splits your time between, I guess, here in Arizona and New York and wherever, Hawaii. And
just here in Arizona, more time here every year.
Okay, good. Well, so here's what I suffer from, the heartache of cracked fingertips right now. And like I say, I hydrate as best I can. I like to think I take in a lot of beneficial oils and such. But yet still have this problem, and it can be any time of the year. Even when I go back east or down to Florida in otherwise humid environments, I'll find that these cracked fingertips will follow me in some form. What is there a specific reason why we get cracked why does it occur at our fingertips?
Yeah.
What's going on?
There's a lot of reasons. I mean, sometimes we see an allergy. Somebody's having an allergy. But I'd say most of the time when it's, you know, one fingertip, and I struggle with that on my thumb as well, it's from friction. And what happens is I find with the phone,
right?
You know, you're tapping and doing whatever you need to do with the fingers, and a callus builds up. And as a callus builds up, it gets thicker, and then it forms a deep fissure. And it's sort of this endless process of friction,
right,
callus response, fissure. So I like products that have lanolin in it.
Right.
It's like the active ingredient that people put on their breasts when they're breastfeeding. Mm. But it really helps kind of hydrate and soak in and soften the skin so you don't have that thick crack that forms anymore.
Okay.
Yeah. And then just lubing up with hand cream. I think I gave you one from Neutrogena that you can get over the counter right before bed. And if you find that your sheets get messy, you can just put white gloves on, just cotton white gloves that can be bought at the store.
Okay.
You know, in the beginning, you were talking about putting on something like a Vaseline or something and saying that you wouldn't really do that because it's not that comfortable. But I have felt when I go out in the cold winter, and especially when you're skiing, so you've got a lot of wind on your face, that I would love something like that, but not Vaseline. That's just kind of yucky.
Goopy.
Goopy.
I have to say I do that, though.
Do you really?
I'll put a Vanapply, which is a like a chemical-free type of Vaseline. It's over the counter as well. It's just Vanipply, and it's from the Mayo Clinic, and they have a whole line of products. And I put that under my nose and on my lips. I have it on now, and I just find it helps with the shearing forces of the wind. So the cold and the wind just add another component to Mother Nature,
right,
sucking the moisture out of our skin, and that's why, Chris, sunscreen would help as well.
All
protecting
right.
protecting your skin.
I can't believe he says he doesn't use much sunscreen.
I love honest people.
I know.
I don't use enough.
Well, none of us really use enough.
But
right?
I compound that problem by I like getting sun. I like lying out in the sun for 10 or 15 minutes a day, whether it's just to sit in my back
vitamin
deck.
Vitamin D.
And we could talk about that. Is there value in getting sun? I like the sun from almost an emotional or a psychological point of view. I appreciate that. Now, should I be wearing sunscreen while doing it? Yeah. But do I like a darker tone skin than a paler? I prefer a darker skin. I grew up at the beach, you know. And so there's a lot of history that I carry in poor sunscreen habits or skin management with respect to the sun. And I know I'm going to, as someone who's, you know,
follicle
hair,
challenged,
that I'm going to suffer the consequences of that. I do wear a hat when I'm out playing tennis or golf or something. But yeah, I like the sun.
He's very
I think
honest.
Most people like the sun.
And
I
like to think we need the sun.
Yeah, so there's so many components in this we want to talk about. So I mean, I confess, I was maybe 25 when sunscreen came out. I said, what's the point of that?
Yeah, exactly.
I find I'll use Hawaiian Tropic Oil Number 4.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know? So I get this,
so
and it's scientifically proven that endorphins are released when you get sun exposure.
Yeah.
So this is how I think of it. I mean, we're living a lot longer now. we're living, you know, well into our 90s. So we're not living to 40 where we can really tend to abuse what I call the high real estate areas of your face and your neck and your hands. So if you choose to get vitamin D from the sun, I would say expose like your back or your chest or your legs. You know, lying down, you're not going to get much on your legs walking. 10 minutes three times a week is all you need for someone of your skin type.
Really?
That's all you need. Yeah, and that makes enough, but I still choose to take a supplement. Because the problem is as we get older, we don't convert vitamin D from the sun as well as we did when we were younger. And we also don't tan as well. So when we're younger, we get a nice, gorgeous bronze glow, and our cells are not as efficient when we get older, and we get splotchy pigmentation. We get brown clumps and then loss of pigment. And so it looks like white, brown everywhere.
I get it.
And then it just predisposes you to skin cancer in areas where you're getting sun every single day, as opposed to 10 minutes three times a week, you know, when you're covered up all summer. In Arizona, it's different. We have to really work on covering up. But I, you know, hats are always going to be better than sunscreen. So you're doing your scalp a much better job using a hat than false sense of protection using sunscreen.
And I think the rule of thumb I've learned that living up here at 7,000 feet, 8,000, some of us at 9,000, the amount of ultraviolet radiation we receive here at these altitudes compared to, say, sea level is 20 to 30%. Greater.
Yeah, every 1,000 feet is about an increase in 4%. So, yeah, there you go, 20, 32%.
So, what if you sat, you know, the sun that you get for, I don't know, I'll say it for an hour at sea level, you get the same amount of sun in 20 to 30 minutes here.
Easily.
So, you really have, when I see people now, when I see people at the pool, at the Mark or so, baking like potatoes in the summer, that's crazy.
I mean, there's I don't think a tan is healthy, but a little bit of sun. I've kind of lightened up on my feelings about that a little bit.
Thank
but
you.
I still want to protect the high real estate areas because I've removed so many cancers from noses and scalps.
Well,
and it's just
and the thing is, no matter if you try to cover your face all the time, it is the single portion of your body that is exposed. And I'll never forget the photo that you sent me of a truck driver. The left side of his face was so wrinkled, so different from the right side of his face because it was that left side that was getting the sun all the time. Incredible.
Yeah. I know. The light that comes in through the windows, that UVA, the deep penetrating light that we get a lot of up here. So that's really essential. There is a supplement you can take as well. It's a natural supplement from a fern block extract called HelioCare, HelioCare. I think they sell it at most stores or online. And it has no interactions, no side effects, and it helps boost the SPF of your skin. I would not take it in place of sunscreen, but I take it with it every morning.
Interesting.
So.
Wow.
Hey, before we let you go, I have to ask you this question. You know, there are now some very expensive treatments that are efficient that our dermatologists might tell us we need. Like, I'm thinking like the blue light treatment that brings out the skin cancers. And then there are some very cheap topical things like Effudex that you can do to also bring out the skin cancers. And I've always wondered because at my dermatologist, they're like, oh, yeah, you need the blue light or you need the whatever, whatever. But is it the benefit, you know, is there really truly a benefit to the patient doing something like that versus a topical cream that like the Effudex that takes off the cancers?
Sure. There's three FDA approved topicals right now. One is as short as 3 days. One is 2 weeks and one is about 4 weeks. And then there's the blue light, and they're all meant for precancers. When you feel your face and it just rough and dry, those are just precancerous cells kind of piling up over time. A lot of people think it's just dry skin, but they're precancers. And head-to-head studies show they're equally effective. So about 70 to 75% improvement of what you currently have, not what you're going to get in the future. And some people, it's less expensive to get the procedure. Some people, the cream's less expensive. So it goes back to insurance and what's least expensive for your insurance plan. So the in-office treatment, one day it's over and then you just have healing time. The creams, you've got to use them for a few weeks and then you have the healing time. So quick and dirty and it's over, or do it yourself at home. It really depends on the personality style. And then some people aren't compliant, so I don't really want them using a cream because it's a 2-day treatment, not a 2-week treatment. So there's so many factors involved.
Good to know. Okay, this is jumping completely, but it's only because we have a minute left. Winter sun. I mentioned something about the sun angle being lower, fewer UV rays. But then if we're skiing outside, the reflection off the snow, what about all of that?
Yeah. So, I mean, this area draws people that love to be outside, right? So we're going to be outside here. You're still getting, I always say, if you don't need a flashlight outside, you're getting sun, right? Mm. Something's lighting up the sky. So it's also affecting you. And there is a huge amount of reflection off the snow, more than there is off of sand, so about equivalent to water. So you need to. You can walk around in the winter and see all the goggle marks on people's faces, and the evidence is there.
Right.
So, I mean, sunscreen on your face, you know, before you leave the house in the morning, zinc oxide, SPF 30 or higher. That's all you need to look for on the label. SPF 30 plus, zinc oxide. Everything else is just fancy marketing. And as long as you use it, it's the right product for you. And probably something water resistant in the winter is going to be good, but it's also going to help prevent a little bit of that wind, that, you know, the wind burning that we want to avoid as well.
So yes, the Vanapply for the wind. Is that
also make a sunscreen, a Vanicream. It's a little heavy for me, but I've run marathons with the Vanicream. It sticks, and I put it on my kids.
Excellent. And that other word back from the beginning, ceramides.
Ceramides.
Yes.
Ceramides.
Is that C-E-R-A.
Okay.
M-I-D-E-S.
How'd you know that, Chris?
I know. We have to talk Latin to sound smart.
She spelled it.
So how do people get in touch with you if I want to make you my dermatologist?
They can go to my website, Dr. Jen Haley, DrJenHaley, and request a consultation. Mm-hmm. I do phone consultations. I also do telemedicine through Dermatologist on Call, and I'm licensed in Utah. And,
yeah.
Oh, well, that's news to me. I thought you just came here to vacation.
I kind of want to just have fun with you guys, to be honest with you.
Our pleasure.
Yeah, we love it. We love it. Well, Dr. Jen Haley, have a great fall back in Arizona, and we'll see you in the winter.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me again.
Thanks.
Take care.